Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Chris Brown. That threw me for a hot second.
I think that is Chris Brown.
Is That's it Chris Brown with an
yeah.
E? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Brian Weddle and Eiler McNeil. Coming up on TMS, dinner-sized plate.
Stovetop, hurry chode.
I dis-de-member.
I like USB-C.
The wasp effect is worse than the butterfly effect.
Please switch your dogs from snort to silent.
Recycling is real. Prove it, you can't!
Premium economy dog farts.
Happy obsolete iPhone day.
It's my flatulence support dog.
Don't tip a Frenchman.
Tina hates things that are good.
You will moo and move.
Stovetop's mom lifts.
This is my process with TV's Travis and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Big deal. I've got another one just down the road.
Ah, defeated by a mere pauper.
Well, big ups to you, girl. That was off the heezy fo sheezy.
Gosh.
The Morning Stream. Fish. Why the hell do they call you fish?
Hello and welcome to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Tuesday, September 12th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Brian Ibbett. Hi.
Hello. Hello, and happy Apple Day.
Thanks, man.
Which neither of us will get to enjoy live.
No, yeah. I guess to all who celebrate, happy Apple Keynote Day. All right? May many products come raining from the sky so that you will be confused as to whether you really want a thing or not.
And, exactly. Happy last day your phone is top of the line.
Yeah. You think they even bring up or talk about the headset thing again or too soon or, you know, like who cares yet? Or
because next, bring, you know, they'll bring it up because there's talk that the photo, the new photo system in the new phone, or maybe even something they can add to current pro models, allows you to take pictures that can be viewed in the 3D space on the Vision, Mac Vision. What is that thing called? The Vision Pro?
Vision Pro, yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be like you can take 3D photos that can be viewed on the Vision Pro and like be like, oh, wow.
Oh, I meant like I'm in this photo kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
But we'll see. That'll probably be as much, you know, if there is anything brought up, it'll probably just be something like that.
Yeah. So we were going to do a live stream of it. We're not now, but we got stuff. We got things. I got to get my wife off to Mississippi/New Orleans. She flies to New Orleans and drives an hour and a half into Hattiesburg, Mississippi to see her sister. And then they hang out and have a party time for some days. 6 days.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. A 6 day long party.
Yeah. But Carter will be here to keep me company. And she's working from home this week. So, we need to get anything. Dogs need any help. There's one of us here to do it. It's all good.
More importantly, like you won't be left alone to your own devices and, you know, turn into an exquisite caveman. Basically.
Yeah. Well, that'll happen when they all leave in October, then things get real bad.
Yeah, but, then wow. Geez.
Yeah, Brian will be on the air then to help me stay centered.
I'll be there to help with that at least.
Yeah, so I appreciate good. That. That'll be good. Sometimes I say one of the things I hate about concerts is the parking, or you know, going to a convention, the parking. So, you know, the parking's always a problem no matter where you go. But man, I didn't think I was going to see some of the worst parking exits when a thing is over than I did last night at a 4-year-old soccer game.
Oh, really?
Okay. I go to Vance Soccer. He plays on Monday. He got a goal, by the way. First goal of the season. I'm so proud of him. Just a great, great night of soccer, right? We got.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm there. His other grandpa's there sitting over there. His name's Shane. He's a funny guy. I like Shane. Dylan and his mom. And then we had Kim. Kim drove all the way here with those six kids she was tending. Then they all were at the game. So all the cousins, you know, cousins-in-laws, everybody. So we're all rooting them on. It's going great. No problem. Everything's great. Afterwards, we're going to go to In-N-Out. And, you know, get everybody was getting cheeseburgers and shakes and stuff, and except me because I can't have those anymore. Anyway, so it's all going great. And there's, you know how it is with kids soccer. It's not just one game. It's like 500 games all across this giant park.
Right. And a big, yeah, exactly. Every, like 25 different fields all with kids clustered around a ball.
Yeah. And we park where we think is a smart parking spot. In fact, it's one where we pulled through to be able to pull because nobody was there when we got there. It was like empty. So we pull in and we pull forward so that when we're done, we just pull out and it's close to the exit. We're just like, this is great.
Sure,
it doesn't matter how many people pile in. Oh my freaking crap, dude. Everybody and their dog, not only trying to get out of there at the same time, nobody is letting anybody into anything. No one's even looking. One lady on her phone just about clipped us. Two minivans got in a freaking yelling match fight. It was one of the worst, and it took us forever to get out of there. It was one of the worst exit, get out of parking things in the history of my life. And I thought I'd seen some pretty rough ones. I went to see Kiss when I was 16. And that was a massive, massive concert. And nobody, and they ended it early because of a power outage. So people were already mad and traffic sucked. But it was still better than this.
Mm-hmm.
I thought people were going to kill each other. It was so weird.
And this
weird.
Is just parking, Scott. Imagine when the zombies come.
Oh,
right?
Shit.
This is like you're seeing the people, and no joke here. No joke. Okay, oh, come on, man. people, there is definitely a shift in the last 10, 15 years. And I know we're going to say, or we can attribute a lot of it. It's not wrong to say that we can attribute a lot of it to the division of liberal versus conservative, Democrat versus Republican, this versus that. But the people are on a freaking short fuse. And they're like, I see it all the time when I'm driving. It is just like this I'm kind of out for myself, whatever, a mentality. Mm. And you aren't, you know, you're not another person in a car in front of me. You are cattle. And I think if I drive up really fast onto your bumper, then you'll moo and get out of the way of for me because I'm, you know, I have somewhere I need to go.
Sure.
It is.
People are on short fuses. I think the political climate contributed to that. I think the pandemic added huge pounds to that weight. And literally and figuratively, everybody got fat. Yeah, it's weird, and I just sitting there last night looking at these, like, you know, soccer mom ladies, some of which were, there's this lady there who's rooting on a kid on our team, I don't know her, but she was the most, she was probably 30, she was the most ripped human being I've ever seen. She must go to the gym morning, day, and night, just ripped, this lady, and her kid's name was something like Stovetop or some name like that, it was some weird... It was weird. I couldn't make it out. She kept going, all right, Stovetop. Woo! Like, what? Stovetop. But she looked Stovetop. Like when she ran, she grunted. She'd run to the other side of the field and go,
oh, no, really? Oh, my God. So she's just like the fully into it.
Oh, my gosh, dude. So into it.
Helicopter mom.
I thought she was going to kill somebody, but she was just so. And I was glad there were no, you know, controversies. There was some pushing and shoving from a couple of kids.
Oh no!
Wasn't Van? Okay. He stayed out of that, but some more kids got a little thing, little tussle, you know. So I was waiting for some parents to like lose their minds, but nobody did. It went okay. But man, the parking! If there's ever going to be a spark point for the next great revolution, it'll be some parking driving thing.
Oh, it totally will. Like it's basically like you know we had the Hatfields versus the McCoys over pregnancy or a pig or something. This is just going to be a global scale version, or at least a nationwide scale version of that, where somebody argues over parking, and then it just kind of escalates into, you know, these states versus these other states,
and the war will be fought on the highways at high speed low speed with horns and guns. I don't know. Crazy, but
people are hovering over that reset the counter button, but nope, nothing got reset, folks.
No, I didn't bring up any of that. I'm just gonna say Stovetop Hurry Chode. That's all I could think of to rhyme with that other thing I won't say. Anyway, it was real dumb, and it was a nightmare. Also, do not let me forget tomorrow. I want to bring this up tomorrow. I'll write it down, okay. But in case I forget, okay. Brian will remind me. I want to talk about Gen Z and how they seem to prefer subtitles on everything, regardless of what it is. I don't mean just foreign films. I mean, like, they're watching... Every TV show, doesn't matter. They're going to turn...
YouTube,
They'll turn on King of the Hill reruns and make sure subtitles are on. We have to talk about why... I have a theory about this. I talked to Nick about it. He's one of these kids. He loves it. He can't watch TV without it now. I think there's something weird going on there. And also, they're using their phones to call each other, us... Not text, not, you know, none
like
of that.
Dialing, call, talk, like speak on a phone?
Right.
Really?
And I, you know, can't blanket every single person who was born in the year 99, 2000, 2001. I'm not doing that. But I will say a strange number of them would rather just call you and get you on the phone. And it's freaking me the F out. There's a real switcheroo going on over there. So anyway, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Wow, crazy. All right.
Also, some credit where it's due. Brian, months and months and months ago, recommended RRR, which stands for Rigor Mortis Richard Ramshackle.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
The Indian film that kind of took everybody by storm for a bit there ended up on Netflix.
The most over-the-top freaking Indian film ever made.
Yeah, sure seems like it. Although some people tell me the one where the guy's got tons of guns coming out of him. He's like a Terminator kind of. I don't know the name of this. Bombats, if he's listening, he'd probably tell us. Yeah. I forgot the name, but apparently that thing outdoes it in terms of just ridiculousness. But this thing, I'd put it off mostly because it's like 3 hours and you got to figure out when to carve out time. And you were always like, well, I'll do it in chunks. And that is what I ended up doing. But it's that movie's really good. Like,
it's glorious, isn't it?
It's unbelievably cool. Like, I don't even know what to say about it.
Like, dude, it's, punches a tiger.
Like, the story is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
In that
yeah,
it's I simple. Mean, it's just revenge and it's friendship. And what does that
two
mean?
Guys and one guy's kind of on the other side and it kind of gets split apart. But
yeah, there's almost like a Romeo Juliet, but platonic friendship
wins
version.
Overall and,
yeah, all that. It's all, it's real simple themes.
Very simple. Yeah.
But executed in such a way that I don't know how to categorize it. I don't know how to describe shit like this.
Yeah. It's a movie where Jackie Chan looks at it and says, well, shit, I should have done that.
I mean, there's obviously, you know, there's a fair amount of CG to help enhance everything, but there are some stunts that, like, you know, when he's riding on his shoulders, this gives nothing away because you're not prepared for it. Okay. Whoever you are listening, you don't know what I'm saying. Yes. When that whole sequence happens, it's done with wires and acrobatics and the actual actors and very little stunt people.
Sure.
And it's stupid on the face of it because you look at it and go, well, that's the dumbest idea I've ever seen. That's not going to work at all. Right. Yes. But then suddenly it works so magically that you're just like, I can't believe I'm watching this. This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved it. It's a little overlong, but it was, you know, whatever.
Yeah, breaking into, you did Adventure Club. You did what? Four chunks? Three
I think
chunks?
Four, maybe five. It's 3 hours. So I think we did it. Basically 30 minute chunks is how long it takes me to edit the show. So I think that's about right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was really great, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah. And Nacho Nacho, right? Come on. I mean, that
so
song
good.
Is now permanent resident in your head.
That's the other thing is the music on the whole, like that song is great in its own right, but every piece of score, especially the stuff that was really steeped in like old Indian culture sounding music, wow, freaking, and it enveloped you in a way that just made you it was really something. I've been listening to that soundtrack like last night for a whole bunch of time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Brian was right. RRR, gotta see it.
Cool,
it's great.
There you go. Still
but
on
no,
Netflix.
Just know that you're gonna get, you know. Like Bombad says, the best way to do it is it's not, none of the dubs are in its native language on Netflix.
Yeah.
So he recommends doing the Hindi voiceover with the English dub or English subtitles. Yeah. He says that's the closest to what you'd really get because the actual language is not Hindi. It's regional. It's another dialect. Anyway, I forget what they called it. Mm. So there's no way to see their actual original dialect, but he claims the Hindi one has the most is the most tonally
faithful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like feels right, the actor voice sounds right, that sort of yeah. stuff. But I have to admit, I like some cheesy English dub.
I was fine with the dubs yeah. on that one. Yeah. Squid Games and Triple R, I felt like, yeah, just fine with the English dub.
Yeah. It was a great
and,
time.
And Money Heist. Oh my God. All right. So that's a thing to add to your list then.
Money I'm gonna Heist. Do that. Yeah, Money Heist is on that list still because you raved about that yeah. too. Yes. A little vinyl in the chat says, OMG, I could not watch a movie with dubbed audio. Well, then this one's out of your, you'll never have yeah, this one work for you.
You won't, there's no, well, I mean, unless somehow someone puts up the version with their original dialogue. Yeah. But,
it's a little weird. They didn't, because usually you have whatever the one is. So the fact that it's only Hindi is as close as you're going to get is kind of weird, but, mm-hmm. man, whatever. The one thing I did notice though, if you do English subtitles and English dub, mm-hmm. the subtitles and the dub do not match. They're saying different
right.
things.
Right,
and that's
right.
fine, except it can be distracting. I did it mostly so, you know, they were just up there and people could see it, but I had to hear English because I'm kind of editing too, but I'm like, all right, well, I'll edit. Oh, and then
oh, well, yeah, you can't edit and watch subtitles.
Yeah, sure. And then they'd talk for a minute. I'm like, okay, I can do this. And then all of a sudden, yeah. somebody would go, he's doing pull-ups in the solitary confinement hole. Oh, my gosh. These guys, and they are the most yeah. ripped Indian men I've ever seen
oh,
in my life.
Oh, they really are, yeah.
And those yeah. mustaches, it's so good.
It's so cheesy. And I, Corey, you know what? You reminded me. You're right. Yeah, Squid Game needs the original audio. I did the subtitles on that one. It was, I think I was confusing with Money Heist, which I did the dubs on, and I was fine with the dubs.
You're okay
on
with
one.
Dubs on Money Heist? Okay. I'll remember that. Okay with I'm like an RPG. Scott will remember that.
Yes.
Let's jump to this taxi thing you heard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Sounds good. So I was watching Taxi last night, woke up in the middle of the night, 4:30 a.m.
Time
I'm
for
like,
milking.
All right. Well, let's yeah. watch a little Taxi. And I'm in season four. So Reverend Jim is a major character. And Bobby, Jeff Conway is kind of relegated to occasional appearances. Tony Danza's in full dumb mode. Like he yep. started out just being kind of a little bit goofy boxer, but they just make him dumber as the season goes on.
Yeah, he's the Betty White of your Golden Girls lineup here. He's
kind
very
of, yeah,
very dopey.
Exactly.
In it. Yeah.
Anyway,
Taxi's
so,
great, dude. Taxi, you're making me
show.
Want to watch Taxi now. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and the episode before that had George Wendt as a an exterminator, cockroach exterminator. So he came in. He was a little bit skinnier than he was as Norm, and he was
weird.
Great. But the clip that you're about to hear, first off, I was surprised to see Martin Short, a very young Martin Short, 1981 Martin Short. I think, you know, early in his SCTV career, because that was still 70s before he
yeah.
Switched over to SNL.
Yeah.
Hops into the taxi driven by Reverend Jim, Christopher Lloyd, who you don't often see driving a cab, because I think it would worry people that this guy is driving a cab.
Yeah.
But so the clip you're going to hear now is Martin Short and Christopher Lloyd.
Awesome. Here we go. Let me play this thing. Oop, wrong tab. Here we go.
You know, I always wondered how the networks decide what shows to put on.
It's a lot of complex variables. We look at sex, education, income. It's very scientific.
Oh, then how come you took off Star Trek?
What?
That was my favorite show. I really miss Star Trek.
Well, actually, that wasn't even my network. But the point is that...
The only guy I didn't like was the leader of the Romulans. It wasn't the actor's fault. It was a script. They gave him things to say that no Romulan would ever say.
Right. Well, I guess you might as well drive me home now. I live in Central Park West and 68th.
Okay. So,
wow.
So there you go. You get Christopher Lloyd about 3 years before he'd play Kruge, the Klingon against the Romulans.
That's wild.
In Star Trek III. Yeah. Talking about how he misses Star Trek.
Yeah, wasn't that far off from this, right? Not that many years.
No, just like a couple of years later. I don't know how early they would have given him the script, or like how early they would have contacted him about playing Kruge,
You know what always threw me is that him and Danny DeVito, of course, in the show together.
Yeah,
were pretty major characters in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah,
I always forget they were in that together. Just felt like those two guys were going to be stuck together forever. I guess that's not true now, but
yeah.
But yeah, no, that's fascinating. First of all, I didn't know I didn't know the 60s Star Trek had Romulans in it. Does that make me like, that just means I haven't seen Star Trek in a long time, because I don't remember them in there. I remember Klingons and the two-faced colored dudes.
Romulans with the neutral zone and stuff. Yeah.
I don't remember any of that.
They were just dudes with bad haircuts and what are those suits called? Mohair suits. Who are the, what are the suits that like the
like talking heads
colors?
Looking suit? Like the,
no, not like big David Byrne suits.
Not like a zoot suit or whatever.
No. I'm not good.
Oh, I thought of you yesterday because they're making a Talking Heads movie. A24 is making a Talking Heads documentary thing. It looked really good.
This isn't just the re-release of Stop Making Sense, is it? Because that
I don't
got
know.
Re-
they were, good question. Let's see.
Because that's getting the full refurbished treatment and getting re-released to theaters. And it is, man, it and The Last Waltz by the Band are my two favorite concert movies of all time. And if you haven't seen either of them, man, Stop Making Sense. It's Jonathan Demme, I think, directed.
Mm.
And the Band's Last Waltz is Martin Scorsese directed. So both of them like have some major cred behind them.
Oh, you are correct about the film. This is them making a remake. So I guess they're adding stuff to this.
Oh, if they are, that's fantastic.
Like current interview kind of stuff. Let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot of details, but Jonathan Demme, yeah, he's, rest his soul. Ted Demme's brother, rest his soul, they both died.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Two director brothers no longer with us.
Yeah, 40th anniversary of the movie, and, I envy people who haven't seen it yet because they get to experience it for the first time, and they have one of the greatest, like, builds for a band, for a show, a live show, ever, as the performers start coming out, and that alone is worth watching. But man, the music is so good, the visuals, it's so brilliantly done.
Yeah, and for those wanting to know if he dances in that crazy suit, absolutely.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
How could you not? You know,
you get Psycho Killer, you get Burning Down the House, you get Once in a Lifetime. I mean, that thing, it's kind of like the Talking Heads' greatest hits, and they still had like two or three albums. Like they still had Little Creatures to come out after this, but so you don't get And She Was or Stay Up Late or anything like that, or Wildlife or any of that stuff. But oh my god, so good.
It's pretty close to a perfect album though. It's really good.
It really is. Yeah. I'm actually going to look right now and see if that's coming to Alamo Drafthouse, because
seems like the perfect place for a re-release,
for
right?
Sure. Eat some grub, drink some stuff, and
plus they like that highfalutin artsy fartsy stuff. They like
do.
It
they do,
they're into it.
Saw
over
10 is coming out. Look at that.
Yeah, Saw 10. Saw
what the
X.
Hell is coming out of this guy's face? Oh,
some sort of laser. It's Scott Summers trapped in a horror movie.
I think so, exactly.
And what's going on there?
Expendables 4, Court of the Crimson King, Five Nights at Freddy's. Oh, they're making a movie? I'm just kidding.
They definitely are, and I don't know a thing about it. I don't know those games at all. I have no idea. Five Nights at Freddy's is just basically that Nicolas Cage movie with the puppets, right? Like the. Mm-hmm. It's just that.
What was that called? Willy's Wonderland.
Willy's Wonderland. I already seen that shit. Unless they make it.
Yeah, it is.
They do a good job, maybe. They'd be fun.
They do. All right. Well, Tina is going to be surprised that I'm making her go see oh, the show's not coming to Denver. I'm not taking her to see it at the Alamo Draft House. That's a bummer.
Boo.
4K restoration. It's not. None of the Denver area theaters are gonna show it.
Boo. So super limited release. But that tells me it'll probably hit streaming and stuff soon.
Expand out. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about a phone call. We got one about recycling. And, you know, that keeps coming up, so we're going to learn a little bit more from this dude right here.
Johnson, Ibbett, hey, calling the morning stream, Jake from Green Bay. I'm getting up at 4:30 in the morning reliably to do something called recycling. Yeah, man, there's a pretty serious effort into sorting and, like, grinding and picking up, re-delivering. It's complicated, and all I do is drive one of the trucks. But recycling is real, Scott. Love you guys. Bye.
Okay, so according to an actual trash maintenance manager driver guy, the recycling thing isn't all bull crap, although he didn't elaborate. He just said it's real, whatever that means. And so... I don't know. I could take a little comfort from that, I guess. Some guy out there driving knows. He seems like a guy who would know.
I'm glad. I mean, there's a lot of sorting going on in the facilities and stuff like that. But I'm glad to hear that we've got somebody listening to this show who's on the front lines, who's able to put our fears to rest that we still should be putting those things with the weird symbols into our plastic bins to put out on the street separate from all of our food and garbage products.
Or he's just a talking head for big trash. We don't know. That's the conspiracy. We don't know.
A little talking head comeback there. Nice. A little callback.
You like that? Here's one about bugs and tweezers.
Hey, Scott and Brian. This is Josh calling from New Brunswick, Canada. I just listened to your episode, Ticks or Dicks. You guys were talking about how to remove ticks. Not to remove them. I messed up. I'm sure this will get on the show. And your doodle. So anyways, I had it in my arm, and I tried to remove it with tweezers. Of course, the head got left behind, so I had to go to the hospital, and they froze apart piece of my arm where the tick was. They had to take a scalpel and dig it out of my arm and then give me, like, actual antibiotics to prevent Lyme disease. So that was fun. Anyways, have a good one, guys. Love the show, though. Bye-bye.
Damn, dude. Don't leave the head. Even in Canada, you can't leave the head in there, you know?
Yeah, sorry, buried. Burrowed my head into your arm.
You know, you can tell he's from Canada, so he says antibiotics. That's how they say it over there.
Yes, I noticed that too.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, so hot, you know, like make them hot so they back their way out of your arm. That's the way to get rid of them.
That's right. Oh, and who sent it to me? I forgot who sent it to me. Crap. Somebody sent me one of these ones you extracted out of your arm. Now I can't remember who did it. But it's the thing where you get a bug bite of any kind, like a mosquito bite or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the little sucker deal. Yes.
The little sucker deal. I haven't tried it because I haven't had a bite, but we almost did on Kim's stinger, but then the stinger came out, so what was the point? So we didn't do it there.
Yeah, there's no venom or something associated with that.
Oh, and did we ever massacre an entire population of wasps? Holy crap. I didn't realize that the sting she got turned out to be from a nest that was built underneath a rock out in our front entry space.
Yeah.
And we didn't know that. And Kim's like, I think there's a whole bunch in there. And she went and pushed this rock, and like 50 wasps start swirling around. So we went out there and unloaded an entire can of Raid wasp killer, just a whole can, just into this, just drilled it into this little cubby hole. And I think we annihilated an entire
you basically
a generation.
Given a genocide, a little wasp genocide, basically.
Yeah, yeah. If this was illegal, I would be in prison by now.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, those of you who want to protect the wasps. I don't feel like wasps provide enough of a benefit to our society that they need to be kept around. They mosquitoes, wasps. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Sorry. Look. Bees, I'll leave them alone. 100%.
Bees, absolutely. Sure. You know, spiders do good things. Bees do great things. We need bees. We need pollen moved around. It feels like wasps are the freeloading, couch surfing roommates of bees.
Yeah,
basically.
Someone call in and correct me. Maybe it'll be Dr. Nikki. I don't know, but someone with some knowledge. If we eliminated all wasps right now, let's just say I could snap a finger, Thanos style, and all wasps are dead. Done.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Did it really make a difference? Is the world
something in the ecosystem will be like, oh no, my food source is gone. Shoot.
Yeah, but
so you don't want that to happen.
What though? Like, what? Who's eating wasps?
Like,
you know,
worse than the butterfly effect is the wasp effect of Scott Thanosing all the wasps away.
Plus, we'd kill those middle-aged rockers from the 80s. They would die, and we'd go, right, oh, exactly. We should have been more specific. Sorry, we just meant the bugs.
Oh, darn it. Yeah. Yeah, yellow jackets, I put them in the same boat. Wasps, hornets, yellow jackets.
Yeah, and those big, angry murder hornet things, forget those. Yeah, yeah, the Japanese ones that are bigger than your thumb, F those things. They're too big.
Here we go, predators. Wasps are great at controlling populations of insects that can be nuisances to your crops, flies, caterpillars, grasshoppers, aphids, cicadas, and more.
Well, it might
be worth taking the hit on there.
Now that you...
might be worth increasing our caterpillar population, and maybe there's a couple more spots on our apples. Oh, well.
Yeah, all right. I think I could deal with it. I think I'd be all right. Well, anyway, thank you guys for your calls. 801-471-0462 is where you can send your phone calls, and we would love to get as many as you would like to send us. It's time for the news, brought to you by...
the very muscular lady that stepped on Scott's foot.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that big lady at the game. Not big, she was just buff.
The lady running back and forth that grunted as she ran?
Yeah, she stepped on my foot and didn't know it, and I didn't say anything. It didn't hurt, it was just kind of... pushed into the grass, and I just kind of went, oh, is that how this is going to be? And she doesn't do anything. It was fine.
All right. Wow. That's...
I was just lounging in one of those chairs you unfold, and
I had my
big long legs out a little ways, and I think that's kind of my problem.
You're kind of hoping to trip her, weren't you? Like, watching her grunt back and forth.
I'm just saying,
You wouldn't have, sorry, but not sorry.
No, not that sorry. So check this out. But at the same time, I want Stovetop to win the game. I want her kid to do well.
Yeah.
So it's not Stovetop. Her. It's it's not the kid. I'll never blame the kid.
Oh, is he on Van's team?
Yes. Yeah.
Little Stovetop. So you can get some more details about what this kid's name is.
Oh, heck yeah. Next game, I'm going to listen way more closely next Monday to see what's going on.
I mean, you might even be able to ask Van, like, hey, Van, do you have a kid on your team named Stovetop?
And he'll be like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what he says instead of "I don't remember"? He says, so we asked him, I said, how was school today? Because he's going to pre-K stuff.
Yeah.
And he says, who are your new friends? And he goes, Mrs. Hannah. And I'm like, oh, no, that's your teacher. How about your friends? And he goes, I dis-remember, meaning he doesn't remember. so he may say that. Who knows?
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
That's cute. I love when little kids have little weird things they say. I hate when they lose them. When they go away, it's just like, oh, keep talking like that. Don't
exactly.
Ever
I know. Don't lose that. Don't lose that little innocent.
Even though if he didn't, he would get the shit kicked out of him in junior high or something because everyone would tease him. But I'm going to miss those little quirks, you know.
Yeah, of course.
I love that stuff. All right. Here's a story about a couple.
Okay.
They're demanding a refund after they were seated next to a drooling and farting dog on a 13-hour flight. Oh, boy. It's still better than that diarrhea guy. Way better than that. Better than the puking on the seat thing.
Yeah.
I'd take it over either of those two experiences.
Exactly. That's what you get for flying Frontier.
Yep. These people want... Is this actually Frontier? No, it's a Singapore flight.
But sure, it feels like a Singapore, like a Frontier thing.
Yeah, you're not wrong to assume it or to feel that this would be perfect for them. But anyway, a couple is demanding this. Singapore Airlines wants to get a refund from Singapore Airlines. Can't talk. For their flight from Paris to Singapore because they were sitting next to a dog that was farting, drooling, and snorting through the entire flight. Not drugs, no drugs, just snorting. Gil and Warren Press from Wellington, New Zealand capital. Told Stuff.com or whoever that they wanted Singapore Airlines to give them that money back for this 13-hour horrible, unpleasant flight. The couple said that they bought two premium economy seats. That's a pretty good seat for an international flight.
Very good, yeah.
If you do that like just here in U.S. to U.S., locations, that's just bullshit talk for a normal chair. Kind of. It's not first class, not business. It's some kind of like, you got a little extra leg room or something. But anyway, they ended up moving to economy because they were sat next to this dog. The couple said they were informed that they were going to be sitting next to a dog in the flight, or weren't informed. I heard the noise and the heavy snorting, Gil said. I thought it was my husband's phone, but he looked down and realized it was the dog breathing.
Sorry, I meant to put my phone on vibrate. I guess I put it on snort.
Yeah, I put it on snort. Please put it on fart. I mean silent.
Yeah.
Let's see. She said it became so much to bear, or too much to bear, when it began farting midway through the flight and taking up Warren's leg room. I don't know. I love dogs too much to care about this, yeah, if I were them.
Exactly.
Like, totally. It's a farting dog. Fine. Whatever. You ever had a dog? Is this Patrick Beja on this flight? I swear it's the New Zealand people, but I swear it's Patrick. He would complain about this. Mm-hmm. No shade, Patrick. I'm just kidding.
Poor grumpy. Poor grumpy Frenchman.
Yeah. Poor grumpy P. We call him. let's see. The passenger couldn't have the dog out in the aisle because they couldn't get the trolleys through. That's what they call them over there, you know, the trolleys.
Yep.
So it had to come in further, which meant that its head was under my husband's feet, she added. My husband was in shorts and was getting the dog's saliva goo on his legs.
Whatever. Guess what? That washes off, you know?
I don't feel that bad
for
these people.
We gave up our excellent seats that we paid a lot extra for because there was a dog farting and drooling. And my husband's leg got a little wet.
Me.
It seems really...
Give me my money back. Me.
It seems lame. I don't know. I mean, I'm not on the flight. I can't say. But no, we're the kind of people where if it's a dog, I'm okay. A screaming
baby.
Even the baby. Kim's going to grab it and chill it out and try to help. Like, this isn't what you're not going to... Why be a part of the problem? Don't be dicks.
But a drooling, farting baby, that's where I would have to draw the line,
Scott.
Oh,
my gosh. Yeah. Putting its head under your feet and sliming up your leg? Forget it. Forget it.
Corrigan is right. If this were you, you'd milk this for the show. I would. Oh, 100%.
Oh, hell yeah.
I wouldn't move my seats and I wouldn't ask for my money back. I just say, you know, you pays your money, you takes your chances.
Yeah, you
take
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you choose to move, totally fine. That's on you. But you shouldn't get your money back because you chose to move into economy seats.
Right. For me, it's just understanding, truly understanding the situation. This is a dog. Yeah. This is as far as a dog's intelligence and or behavior can take you.
Yeah.
Knowing that, live within that space. Same with a baby. Another adult, that's different. If a guy's crawling around and slobbering on your leg and he's in his 40s, then we have a problem and then we get a refund because, again, it's understanding your situation. Right. Now, somebody said, oh, well, that guy's, you know, he's like that guy in L.A. Law. He's really, I don't know why I used that as an example. You know what I'm talking about?
You talking about Benny?
Benny, yeah. Because he's grown, you know, that's why, because he's older.
Right. Yes.
And then I would go, oh, I didn't know that. And then I'm going to be forgiving of that. This is just normal human behavior. I don't understand what's wrong with everybody. Everybody just calm down some. Drive normal. Exactly.
This is basically a continuation of that thing. Like, people just need to, like, take a step back and say, you know what? I'm in a world full of other people, and all those other people have the same wants and needs and desires I do as well. We all want to get to the place we're driving quickly and safely. Mm-hmm. We all want to get through this line that we all are in together in the order in which we got into this line. We're all, you know, everything. We all want to sit back and enjoy this movie or this concert or this, for some reason, film fest of Instagram cat videos, whatever
it is. Sure,
whatever it is, have some patience, have some sympathy and empathy for the people around you,
just this much. It's a tiny bit. You don't even have to work that hard,
and put your damn phones down while you drive. I don't care if you think you can get everything you want done during a stoplight. Here's the deal: you can't.
No,
all right, you can't. Right. You're going to be look up and you'll realize, oh, light's green. You'll get through it. The light will turn red, and nobody behind you will get through it.
Could not agree more on this point.
All right, I'm done.
No,
thank
it's
you,
true.
Goodbye. When's the Apple thing start?
Everything you said is true. Be nicer, everyone. There are two kinds of people in this world. One kind pulls his car over on the highway to help a family of ducks get across the road without getting run over. And the other kind is the dude behind him who's pissed that he's doing it. Those are the two people in this world. Save the ducks!
What am I for letting that tennis ball roll down to the other side of the street when that lady dropped it and the dog...
I think your heart was in the right place.
I still think about that Uncle Ben moment and wish I would have done something differently.
Yeah, but your heart was in the right place, and you were put in limited. You had limited choice.
I did. There was a car in front of me, and if I would have honked, the lady with her headphones on wouldn't have heard it, but the car in front of me would have, and would have been like,
"It's like, hey,
we stopped because there's a lady crossing the street with this dog. Yay!
Hey, I'm driving here." Yeah. You don't want that. Let's move on to this story.
How dare she put me in that position? I don't know. How dare she?
It's her fault. How dare she drop her ball?
Exactly.
Boy, she really dropped
she
the
really
ball.
Dropped
that day.
The ball. Yeah.
Really let that one go. Check this one out. A dinner This is so weird. A dinner sized plate. Or a dinner plate sized device.
I'd like a dinner sized plate,
jeez,
please.
That was a, I don't know why I worked those words together that way. A dinner plate sized device found inside a woman's abdomen 18 months after a cesarean birth. So
this whole thing is confusing the hell out of me. So it's a device the size of a dinner plate found inside a woman's abdomen
18
months
a cesarean.
After she gave birth, after they did a cesarean section for birth. Okay.
So it's a big old surgical tool of some sort. In fact, they call it that. A surgical tool, this tool the size of a dinner plate, was found inside a woman's abdomen. This was 18 months after they did this C-section. Again, a New Zealand Health and Disability Commissioner report. So this is back to New Zealand. What's going on with you guys today? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. An Alexis. No, cancel. Oh, I knew she'd go off. Why did I say that word?
Dang it.
An A-word retractor, or AWR, which can measure up to 17 centimeters, which for those here in the States who don't pay attention to any kind of metric system, that's 6 inches in the imperial system. Okay.
My dinner plates are way bigger than that.
I was going to say, dude, that's because we're in America. We get all these big servings on our plates, you know?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's America. Dinner plate. That's our that's the plate on which we put the bones from our dinner plate.
Yeah. Yeah. Or there's even a slightly bigger plate than that for the pie they're going to bring me after I'm done.
Right. I put a link in our chat of what this Alexis protector retractor looks like.
Let's see. Let me take a look here. There we go.
It looks like the worst condom ever.
Oh, look at this, guys.
The most ineffective condom you'll ever find.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a two-way condom that ain't stopping nothing.
Exactly.
Oh, I see. So you'd put this in to hold open. It's like a... It creates
it's
a,
basically protect all the stuff around it while you pull the baby out of the...
Yep, there it is.
Yep.
Oh, trigger warning, I guess. Kind of surgery-looking stuff. Yeah, that's gnarly. So that's 6 inches in diameter? Must be, apparently. That's pretty big for that, but not for dinner, you know? I don't know why they keep using this dinner plate record thing.
I know. Yeah.
It's weird.
We, as human beings, we probably can figure out what these inches and centimeters sizes are.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Especially something as fluid as the size of dinner plates in different countries.
Yeah, no, that's true. And another thing from Patrick's past, he used to tell me that the reason the French stay skinny but have amazing food is their plates, their serving plates are so much smaller, so their servings are so much smaller.
Yeah.
So no matter where you go, the idea of taking something home in a doggy bag is unheard of. In fact, it's offensive there.
Really?
Oh yeah. Tipping and takeaway.
So basically they and it's offensive because the restaurant then is giving you too much food. Right.
Right.
As opposed to, I want to take the rest of this home and eat it tomorrow as a second small meal instead of a large meal. It's more like, no, the restaurant should not be giving us this much food.
Yeah, and I think also culturally, if you get halfway done and you just aren't hungry enough to finish it, even if it was small, you would never, according to him, you would never ever say, can I get this in a box and take it home?
Well, screw that.
I know, it seems crazy.
If I don't finish my bouillabaisse, I want a container to take home my bouillabaisse.
Yep. And they also pay everybody enough money to not need tipping. So tipping's offensive. Like, you never try to tip in France. Mm. Other places too, I guess. But
yeah, there are restaurants here that are taking that, actually, that are doing we've increased the size of the prices of our meals. And we are taking off tipping so that that extra money does go to our servers and staff. So
seeing that more here too, I'm happy to pay a little more for the meal if it means they're getting living wages and we're not constantly playing this gambling game at the end of the day.
Exactly. But don't give me crap service because you know you're getting a guaranteed tip amount on that extra food.
Well, the idea is, I think the idea is a lot like why it works so well. This is a terrible example on the terms of like the quality, you know, this isn't grade A food, but In-N-Out, we were just there last night and we were remarking once again about how damned efficient and great they are over there.
Yeah.
And they won't take tips. They're required. If you say, hey, take a couple of bucks, how awesome you were, they have to turn it down. It's part of the rules there. Mm-hmm. And the reason is they pay them double what any other equivalent in that fast food category will pay. They get way more money. Yeah. So I think the end result would be better service in the end, because they're not also, here's the other thing. Sure, if you were in a non-tipping situation, every table's a gamble and you're jumping through hoops to try to convince people who might really suck to give you a tip at the end. And that's just a mental gymnastics every night. Mm-hmm, if you could just do a great job and focus on the job and not constantly worry about tweaking whatever you're doing to make sure grandma hair isn't as tight as she was in the 30s, I think it would work better. I wish we could chuck it.
Yeah.
We should be getting rid of it.
Get there.
Some baby steps. All right. We're going to take a break from all this. When we come back from this break, our old pal TV's Travis will be here. All right. Travis Crawford is his last name, and he lives at such and such street in a specific zip code.
I can't believe you're doing that.
Yeah, I'm giving him the whole Monty today, the full Monty, as they say.
The whole Monty, complete Monty.
The complete Monty. You remember the movie The Complete Monty? That was a big hit.
I do, yes.
Anyway, he'll be back after this with a little quiz for
us. As much as Mystical Mike, but this is pretty
dang. Mystical Mike. I like that. Apparently, there are like four of those, and I've only seen the first one.
Oh, really? Are they at XXL now? Is that the deal?
I guess so.
I've never seen any Magic Mike movies. Do they need to bother us?
No, they're not for us. Yeah. They were good for, like, I thought McConaughey was good in the first one, and I thought, I can't think of his name, the main guy. 21 Jump Street.
He was in that excellent first season not Peaky Blinders, but the show about horror people living. Yes.
Why can't I? Channing Tatum.
Cunningham Tatum. But thank you, Free Rangers.
Yeah, thank you for that.
We're ripping on the guy who got us out of that and helped us remember that name.
Because it got one letter off. You jerk. Exactly. Yeah, all right, we'll take that break now and play a song. What do you got?
Okay. All right. Good morning, Scott. Hi. Good morning. Good morning in the news this morning. Good morning. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be playing a song by a band called Good Morning. They've got a two-track release. Sometimes these are called EPs. They are going on tour with Frankie Cosmos, and they're great. This is a Melbourne band, a duo, and they've got a new album that's going to be coming out called Barnyard, it did just come out. These first two songs are this double-sided single that they've released. Has a couple great tunes on it. One of them is called Queen of Comedy, but we're going to play the other one, which is a Liz Phair influenced song called Dog Years. Here is Good Morning.
I don't give a flying f*** into a rolling donut about what Al Pacino thinks.
Mouth and joy flavor, yes?
And we return. Tell me about that song again.
Sure. That song is called Dog Years. It's by a brand new band called, well, brand new to us, called Good Morning. They're going on tour, a U.S. tour this October. So if you like this, you'll like a lot of their stuff and you may want to see them live. That's the band Good Morning.
Nice. Real quick here. I got a lot of people that reminded me of this. A lot of people who are worried about my dog because you said Dog Years. And I'd mentioned how we were trying to prepare ahead and figure out what our plans are and all that. It's not. So that's what I wanted to clarify. This is 100% me planning ahead, thinking of everything.
Yes.
This is not her in dire straits. She's doing okay. She's just, I just know that the day is coming and I don't want to be caught off guard. So that's all that was. It wasn't me planning the death of my dog soon. She's okay. She's fine.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Okay, good. I think we were definitely worried about that.
Took a nice little nap with her yesterday, and she's fine. She's snoring more than she should, but that's okay. She'll be all right.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Let's get TV's Travis all up in it. He's not just a good pal of the show. He's got a monthly segment now.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes a little like this.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
This is Travis, and you'll do well to listen carefully to what he has to say.
That's right. You'll do very well to listen to what Travis has to say. Hey, damn, Travis, do you like your new, you like your little theme there I made for you there? You like that?
I do. I like that. That's good. You know, you were talking about my wrestling name in high school was actually Mystical Mike.
Oh, no way. Really?
And surprisingly, my finishing move was the Complete Monty. So...
Nice.
Wow.
Amazing. Weird.
Wow.
Weird.
You know, the chances of us bringing that up today seem really astronomical, but we did it.
The universe works in weird ways.
It sure does. I don't know why it wouldn't work like that when I bought a lottery ticket while I was in Idaho a month ago. And of course, we won nothing. But my luck never works when it comes to those sorts of things, ever. Anyway, it's good to have you here. We like to do this because it means a little bit of game our direction. Usually, you know, Brian twice a week is arranging a cool contest with Brian Dunaway. But once a month, we get it done to us, and it comes from TV's Travis. So let's do it, Travis. What do you got for us this week?
All right. So we're going to play everybody's favorite brand new game, Name That Thing. And round one, I've already thrown out the window because you talked too much about Taxi already. So,
that's a shame.
I have a feeling you'd get that one pretty quickly.
Are you you're one of those guys where all I have to say is a slight reference to a film and Travis knows exactly what it is and whose name and why they did it or whatever. He's very good with that stuff. Do you... are you an old school like sitcom fan? I mean, these are obviously some of these are before your day, of course, like Taxi. But you're a fan,
yeah. Definitely. I mean, I do an entire podcast about old TV as well with some people. So we talked about Taxi earlier this year, I think.
Did you guys watch? How much of it do you watch for? Because that's called Those Were the Days. What was it called?
Yeah, Those Were the Days.
Those Were the Days.
Those Were the Days. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. We usually watch a single episode.
Okay.
So sometimes it's a show that I've watched a bunch and like I have a lot I can say about it. Other times, you know, it's like, what's your history with the show? Well, earlier today I watched this one episode and that's all I know about it. So
okay.
All right.
But yeah, we've talked to, in fact, we just started this month is all private investigator shows.
Ooh, so you can do like Columbo and freaking
technically, Columbo is a cop, not a private investigator.
Oh, I thought he was different. I thought he was a PI.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah. Okay.
So, like tonight, we are recording because last night one of the hosts' power went out 5 minutes before we were going to start.
Oh, nice.
So we pushed it tonight, but we're doing Magnum PI.
Oh, all right.
Oh, nice.
That's a cool show. Have you guys considered like I don't know why I love not Maverick. What's his cop show?
Rockford
Files. Mm-hmm. I love the Rockford happening. Files. It's so freaking good. It holds up today. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the clothes and the cars and stuff were bad in the music, but that, man, Rockford Files.
I grew
Files.
Up watching that show. My dad loved Rockford Files. In fact, he used to play a version of, it wasn't fantasy baseball, but it was Strat-O-Matic.
Yeah.
And his team name, he had two teams, and one of them was the Rockford Files.
Oh, that's cool.
And so, yeah, I grew up watching that. That's definitely one we're doing this month.
You got this right here. Cool. Check this out. It's such a great theme.
It's such a great
theme. It really is.
Anyway.
Yeah, so Taxi is thrown out. Round one is going to be a wash between the two of you. It was going to be way too easy to guess those character names.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. We'll just move on to round two, which will be our round one. I'm going to say, Brian, you get to start the bidding on this one.
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do it. Right.
So it is an author. You're going to be guessing the author based on titles of novels that they wrote.
Okay. I'm going to start the bidding at six.
Six, okay.
Go high, yeah.
I think I can do it in five.
All right, Brian, do you think you can do it in five, or do you want to bet lower?
I will go four.
Four,
I'll take it. Yeah.
All right, name that author.
All right, Brian's going to name that author in four. Here are your four titles.
Okay.
The Talisman.
Oh, shit. Really?
The Black House.
Oh, shit.
Uh-huh.
The Dark Half.
Okay.
I just realized I picked all that had the in it. I didn't
realize. Oh, weird.
Well, let's say that that author does that a lot. That author is known for such things. Not that I know who it is from these very hard
answers. Right, exactly. What was the fourth one you said?
The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon.
Okay, well, that is, that's Stephen King.
Yeah.
I tried, I really tried to find.
You did pick like, some, you I, did pick some obscure and, titles, for sure, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lesser known ones. Sure. I love, by the way, that he wrote a book called The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon.
Yeah. He does that once in a while.
Because that almost feels like a, what was the Swedish author who did Girl with the Dragon Tattoo? Like, it almost feels like, like that could have steered somebody in the wrong direction if that was the, if they only got that one as a hint.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. So round one goes to Brian and he gets 2 points.
Nice. Two points for Brian.
Round.
Cool.
All right, Scott, you get to start the bidding on this one, and we're going to be going with a director, by film titles.
I think I can do it in three.
Three, okay.
Three. What do you think, Brian? What do you think of three?
Director, we get film titles.
Yep. Watch this be super obscure, French director or something. Back in the 1930s, there was a man. Yeah.
I'll do two.
Two, all right. Scott?
Shit.
Can you do it
think
in one?
You can do it in one?
I'm going to try. Let's do one.
All right. Good deal.
Okay.
Go for it. Name that director.
Thanks. I'm going to do my best.
The movie. Your one movie title.
Yeah.
Raising Kane.
Oh. Oh, I know this. it's not as easy as the Stephen King books. Raising Kane. Scott. It's one of the guys, they all lived in apartments together, and Spielberg was there, and this is my process.
Yep.
Spielberg, Lucas, Scorsese, and De Palma, and who's the other guy? Oh, no, it's De Palma. It's Brian De Palma.
Correct.
Oh, nicely shit.
Done.
Look at
well
that.
Well done getting to that. Woo! Nicely done.
I haven't seen Raising Kane in years, but I remember it being one of his. I think one of
a few others. I've seen Raising Kane.
A long time ago.
A few others of his I chose were Snake Eyes. Carlito's Way.
Yeah.
The giveaway would have been The Untouchables, but the other one was Get to Know Your Rabbit.
Oh, I don't know that one.
God. Yeah, the only one in there I would have gotten it from is The Untouchables.
So Brian, what's the film sack one we just saw that he did that was the Travolta thing? That was good.
Yeah, Blow Up.
Blow Out?
Mm-hmm.
Blow Out. I'm sorry, Blow Out.
Blow Out, yeah.
Blow Out was great. I was surprised
Yeah, that was
that.
Really good. Yeah.
Okay.
Not Karen Allen. What's her name? Nancy Allen. Nancy Allen.
Yep. Karen Allen was like, I'm not going to help you, Indiana.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Yeah. All right. So Scott got it in one. That's 3 points. So
oh, really? Awesome. All right.
Scott 3, Brian 2, moving into round 3.
Okay.
Brian, you will begin the bidding on this one. It is a band, and it'll be by album titles.
All right. I'm going to go 4.
This one's also not a terribly difficult one, I'm realizing, but 4. All right.
All right.
All right, Scott.
Is one of them the band's name followed by the words greatest hits? Is that one of the albums you're going to give us?
It was funny because I was looking up different bands and I'm like, oh, The Who would be a fun one. But no, every album title for The Who has Who in it.
The Who sells out. Who's next? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I guess I never noticed that. They always put Who in the title.
Brian said four.
I'll try three. I'll attempt three. Yeah.
And I will take 2.
Brian, name that album. Band.
Okay, or that band.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, Brian, your 2 albums are Metal, as in like meddling.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
And
I only use one, but give me the other one.
Yeah.
Obscured by Clouds.
Shit.
That'd be Pink Floyd.
Gosh dang it.
It would be.
I would have gotten it. Although I think it would have taken the second one. The metal one, I think I would have struggled there. But Brian's.
Yeah, Brian, that was one stuff. I read it. I was like, oh, they had an album named Metal. And like the
that's
final
the one
cut.
That one of these days I'm going to cut you into little pieces comes from, I think.
Oh, right.
I think one of these days comes from Metal. Yeah.
I love that.
I definitely did not put Dark Side of the Moon on the
wall
list.
Or Dark Side.
Yeah, exactly. the giveaway would have been
Momentary Lapse of Reason.
Right. What's the flying pig one?
Animals.
Animals.
Animals. Yeah.
Yeah. The flying pig. All I can think of is the album cover. Or when they're burning, that's Wish You Were Here. The guy shaking the hand of the burning guy.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yep. The Division Bell was another one.
What's the one from the 80s?
I always think of Pulse. As one, because that
Pulse
was the
is a great one, yeah.
That was the one where the case had a pulsing light,
a little LED,
yeah.
And my uncle's LED finally ran out like about 5 years ago. Like he had it in his shelf, and he told me, by the way, the Pulse LED finally ran out.
I think that 87 album, whose name I can't remember, is it Momentary Lapse of Reason? Is that it?
That was the greatest hits, Momentary Lapse of Reason, but it had a bunch of good stuff on
it. Oh, I'm thinking that's not it.
87. Final cut was 87.
Oh, yeah. Then 80.
With Not Now, Johnny, and...
Well, what's Momentary Lapse of Reason? Why is that a thing in my head? That's another album.
That's a Pink Floyd greatest hits album. It's just a bunch of
what's
hits.
The one with all the hospital beds on the beach on the album
that's
cover?
Momentary Lapse of Reason.
I swear to you, that's Gilmore without...
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
His name doing original stuff. Why is that in my head that way?
Let's take a look here, because let me look at the track listing. Am I thinking, I might be confusing with, I am confusing that with, Learning to Fly was on that, Dogs of War. So what was the, there was another one that was the greatest hits that wasn't Momentary Lapse of Reason. It was released around the same time. Delicate Sound of Thunder? Was that the...
I love that record. People weren't supposed to. We were all told we're not to like it because it was just Gilmore and they'd broken up and all that. But I thought that record was great. I loved it. Okay, so what's the greatest hits one? What's that called?
That's what I'm trying to find, because that one had a name that was similar to Momentary Lapse of Reason. And
crap.
That was Gilmore without Waters, right?
Right. Waters was gone. And I refused to take the crowd wanted me to hate it, but I liked it.
Oh, so good. And let's see.
Learning to Fly is a classic.
Box set. Delicate Sound of Thunder. That was a live album. There was another one that was a studio album that had a bunch of greatest hits, and I cannot find it.
Crap.
No.
Oh, well.
Echoes, The Best of Pink Floyd, but that's 2001.
Yeah, there was an earlier one. Let me see. Let me jump to discography here. And studio albums, concert tours.
A Foot in the Door? No, that's 2011.
That's 2011.
Oh, my gosh, 2011.
Compilation. Here we go. Now we finally got this. Oh, A Collection of Great Dance Songs? Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of.
It's got the couple dancing on the cover and they're like...
Yeah, that was earlier. Yeah, that is the one I was thinking of, Collection of Great Dance Songs. Although that was a lot earlier, 81. I thought that was late 80s.
Oh, weird. Same decade, though.
But it didn't look like one of their greatest hits. It didn't look like a greatest hits album. It looked like couple dancing. Could have been hospital beds on there.
Yeah, and the name couple, or that visual and that name, that doesn't sound like a greatest hits album. That sounds like anything.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, we've gone deep on Pink Floyd. Now what?
Yep. We have. And that means Brian wins.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
All right, well, this is for you.
We only did the three rounds.
Congratulations.
That's for you, and this is for me. I lost. That's a bummer.
Now, we do have a... we'll do our round five because this actor, we'll guess by movie titles, was born on this day.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday to
September,
the guy.
All right. September 12th. So a happy birthday to this actor. We'll start, Scott, with the bidding. I'll give you how many titles do you think you'd need to guess?
And this is titles of films?
Yes.
Okay. Four.
Four? All right.
Ooh. All right, I'll do three.
Okay.
I'll do two.
Scott?
Okay,
two.
It's yours.
All right.
I mean, it's obviously yours because I can't bid any lower. And,
right.
And even if I could, one movie, name the actor that was in that movie. It's very tough.
All right, Scott, here's your two movies. Bad Boys and The Fugitive.
Oh, that didn't go where I thought it was going.
No. Uh-huh.
It's not one of our main actors, is it?
Mm.
The Fugitive... And Bad Boys.
Oh. Okay. I think I have a guess if he doesn't.
All right.
Hold on a second.
He's working through his process.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be somebody who's not just a total bit actor, because you wouldn't do that to us.
No.
But it's not our two principals in Bad Boys, clearly. I'm going to say Joey Pants. Joey Pantoliano.
That is correct.
Is that correct?
Wow.
That is correct.
Okay. Now I will admit that there's a little bit of a memory that someone last week told me because I was talking about his role on The Sopranos. Somebody said, oh, his birthday's coming up. That helped.
Really? Wow.
Nice. I didn't know if that was it for sure, but I knew Joey Pants was in at least one of those. So I got there.
See, and I would have gotten, if I would have gotten the steal, I would have been wrong because I was thinking, oh, TV Travis is trying to screw us up and make us think of the other Bad Boys with Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. But then there was this other one with Sean Penn and who was the other guy that I was thinking might have been in The Fugitive. I would have struggled, but I would not have come up with Pantoliano.
So there was a Joey or Joey Pants. Sorry, there was a
Sean Penn. There was a Bad Boys that had Sean Penn and.
Are you thinking of the one with De Niro?
No, no. There was
because that was
83. It looks like.
No, oh
there
yeah,
was a Bad Boys.
Nope, you're right.
With
there was a Bad Boys in
Sean
80.
Penn and who was the other guy?
There's
two guys that were stuck in prison and they come out.
Somebody named Rennie Santoni? Is that the guy?
Clancy Brown. Oh, he wasn't the other guy, but he was in that. Ali Sheedy.
Alan Ruck.
Isai Morales, maybe?
Alan Ruck was in that? No way. Yeah. I've never seen that. I've heard of this.
It was Isai Morales was the other guy, yes.
Okay.
Never heard of this.
Yeah, this came out way before the Will Smith, Martin Lawrence Bad Boys, and this is like, oh, I bet he's trying to make us think. Like, he wants us to think of the Will Smith Bad Boys.
Oh, you thought it was a trick question. Yeah,
I like where you're going with that. This is good. good.
Is this good? Is this worth seeing?
I was
thinking
Clancy Brown, but I guess Clancy Brown is not in.
is this Bad Boys worth seeing? If you
no, it's worth seeing. It's worth seeing for a for a film sack, I think.
Okay, all right,
probably yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, first appearances, debuts of Clancy Brown, Alan Ruck, and Ally Sheedy.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. Damn. That's a, yeah. They didn't know what they had there.
They did not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number three on the list for Joey Pants movies, by the way, would have been Running Scared, because that is that is my definitive version of him. Anytime I see him, I think of Snick.
With that hair.
I feel like his Matrix role took over for me. That's all I think about when I picture him.
I mean, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a real good one.
Eating that steak.
I loved him in Memento.
Yeah.
Yes. Like,
he's just always good.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
He's fantastic. Yeah.
And another movie, by the way, that Running Scared, another movie that has had a second movie come out unrelated to it that is same name with Paul Walker and
vastly inferior also.
Very. Yes, exactly. You don't get, hello, is this a detective?
You don't get Billy Crystal doing Pinky. Yeah.
It is my favorite thing that Billy Crystal ever did is that 3 minutes of film. No, mother, give me more miniature marshmallows in my hot cocoa.
It's so good.
Did you guys know that, I didn't know this, in the Chucky series that's on, Joey Pantoliano plays himself?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's cool.
I kind of want to get into that. I don't know what's going on there. Anyway.
I am the only...
Ambassador Domo, risky business. I keep forgetting that Joey Pants was in that. It was Guido. Was he Guido the pimp?
Guido the pimp. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yep. He's great, dude.
I need to watch that Chucky series. I'm the only host of Gore that hasn't watched it yet.
Oh, wow.
The other three all have.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? Me about get it. In there. Get that.
And I'm like, I need time. I just don't have free time.
Yeah.
Ever.
So you're like a triple... Wait, no, you're a triple threat now with Gore, Those Were the Days, and Wait, You Haven't Seen, right? Are you doing any more podcasts right now?
The Highlander show is going to come back for one more season.
Oh, yeah, of course, season. Highlander
show. Yeah. We've been on hiatus for that since we finished... what we thought was all of the Highlander stuff, and then there was a spinoff series that lasted for 13 episodes, so we're going to do that one too.
Young Highlander. I know, I haven't had a chance to watch Young Highlander, but I hear it's really, really good.
Yeah.
We're basically just trying to stretch out in hopes that we can keep going long enough for the movie to come out, but they keep delaying it, so who knows.
Yeah, this is great. Sorry, I was looking at all these roles here. I forgot he was in Adventures of Pluto Nash, that terrible movie.
Oh, see, that's one. Man. Do we suffer through that for films?
I think we do at some point. Yeah. Don't you think? Yeah. Feels like we have
to. So.
Congo. Forgot about that.
What was the other Eddie Murphy thing that was it? Dave? No, not Dave. What was the one where he's the dude who's got a bunch of little Eddie Murphys running around operating him?
I don't know what that is. What is that?
Oh man,
does that sound completely brand new?
It sounds completely new to me. I don't know what that is. What is that? I must know. I must know.
Oh.
Hold on. You got to find it. All right. Let's find my Eddie Murphy movie list. Has anybody not heard of this? Has anybody heard of this?
I remember hearing something about it. I never saw it.
Is it new-ish?
It was
like, not that.
It came out around the same time as Pluto Nash.
Okay. So bad time.
Not Norbit. Where is it?
No, definitely not Norbit. That one.
Meet Dave.
Don't. Meet Dave?
Meet Dave, yes.
Okay, here it is. 2008. Yes. This is reviewed very poorly.
Yeah.
let's see. Elizabeth Banks, Scott Kahn, Gabrielle Union, Ed Helms, Kevin Hart. It's a decent cast.
A great cast, yeah.
What's the synopsis? Here we go. Crew of miniature aliens operate a spaceship that has a human form while trying to save their planet. The aliens encounter a new problem as their ship becomes smitten with an Earth woman. This sounds like shit.
Oh, my God. It's such... Yeah. I've never
that
seen
needs
it.
That to be
but it's
like Frog Pants Adventure Club.
Yeah, that this sounds awful,
it
dude.
It needs to be film sacked, definitely.
Is it a... Let's see.
It is not streaming right now. It's rented on Apple TV is your only option.
This director is mostly known for directing Nickelodeon shows, so there's that.
There you go. Yeah.
Co-written by Crow T. Robot, though, Bill Corbett.
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Well, maybe that was a mistake. Maybe he shouldn't have done that. You know.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a blast, as usual. I love doing this. Thanks for hanging out with us. Why don't you tell people where to get all your shows so they can check out more of your fine work?
The best place to go is Tadpooler Bombats made me a wonderful website. It's tvstravis.com. It's got links to everything that I do there.
Oh, cool. Oh, very nice. Damn, man, Bombats getting around, doing stuff, that guy.
He is. He's a guy who does stuff and gets around.
He sure is. And also, real quick here, Monday you'll be co-hosting here on the show while Brian's in Vegas. So thank you for that ahead of time.
Yeah. And I think looking forward to that too. Let me have some fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Keeping the booth lights on while I go and have a little fun and see the Spice Girls tribute band.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. Nice. I'm very glad that that's happening, so we'll look forward to seeing you then. It's TV's Travis, everyone. Have a great time. We'll see you then. Bye. All right, that's the end of that. I got a question that must be answered. We were at the In-N-Out yesterday, and I like raw onions on my burger. Am I a dirty, horrible bastard, or am I okay, Brian? People were giving me
nothing at all wrong with that. You like a good crisp onion on your burger?
Oh, yeah.
Zero wrong with that.
Okay, good. All right. I already feel better because I was getting so much crap from all these kids we took, and even the girl at the counter looked at me a little funny. Like, nobody seems to want raw onions but me, and I love them.
Really? Yeah. Isn't that a standard with them? Like, because if you do animal style, they cook the onions into the burger. But if you don't they put raw onions on the burger?
They'll put, I think they always ask. They always say, do you want raw or the other kind? What's the other kind? Grilled, I guess. Grilled onions?
Yeah. Grilled onions, sure.
And I always say raw, and everyone always rolls their eyes at me. Almost everyone I know is like, that's so gross, Dad. That's so gross, Scott. Like, nobody likes them but me, and I am such a fan. So
I would argue that raw onions give you more flavor than grilled onions, especially on a burger where you've got that extra crisp, because tomatoes aren't going to give you crisp.
Nope.
A little bit of lettuce, maybe a little bit, but it's not going to give you the crisp like a raw onion.
No, mostly limp with the lettuce. And exactly. If your tomato's crisp, you got a whole other problem, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right, that's all I needed. That's confirmation that I am not insane. Give me a raw onion, baby. Oh, yeah. And they always take it, and we get salads. You know those red onion slices you get in salads?
Oh, yeah.
I love them in there, and everyone's always giving me theirs. Like, these are gross here.
Gina does that with me. Like, you go to Outback Steakhouse, they put those big old red onion slices in there. She just throws them onto my plate. Those, and we get ramen. She always gives me her soft-boiled egg. Mm-hmm. We go to any place where they put a pepperoncini in your salad. She puts those on my plate, too. Dude, Tina hates things that are good.
I knew you and I were friends for a reason. I knew it. We finally found the raw connective tissue, and we know how to eat, you know?
Those are all the discards from Tina's plate that end up on mine, and I'm happy with that.
Hard same with Kim, except the egg. She likes that in her ramen. She'll keep that.
Does she? Yeah. No, Tina has a very specific thing about eggs. They have to be cooked to the point that the egg's parents, the chicken that laid the egg, feels it.
Yeah, or doesn't recognize them. Yeah. Like, she needs the chicken to look at those and go, I don't know what that is. What the hell are those?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I can't identify that from anything.
Yeah, they're not even upset about it. They don't even know to be sad. It's just whatever that is not my kids. But yeah, the egg thing, Kim likes them all gooey and gross. I'm more like Tina on the egg thing. I like eggs.
I want the yolk gooey and gross, and usually it's a rare case where you find any place that soft boils the eggs and the whites are not fully cooked.
Yeah.
And I'm with her on that. Like, I want my whites fully cooked, but I still want a runny yolk.
Chat room also throws in a good fried onion ring on a burger. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'll do that. Yeah. I'll do that. Because that's basically a raw onion slightly cooked inside of some
kind of
crispy stuff. So
and it's one of those things where your first bite of that burger, you're getting the whole onion. You're going to pull it right out of its little breaded sleeve.
Yeah.
But you'll get that first bite will be the whole onion yanked right out of that ring.
Yeah. And I'm with Brian on the yolk. If it's a place I trust, if it's like Denny's, I don't trust them to do it. Yeah. Right. So I'll just be like scrambled or whatever there. Well, there you go. I had the hard questions being asked here on the show. Here's another question that is not hard. Why have some of you not joined us on Patreon? Because, man, there's such good deals over there. There's so much cool stuff you can get, and you can do it for as low as $1 a month. Please join us today at patreon.com/TMS and help this show continue to grow and expand and be part of your life. All right. And big thanks to everybody who already has. We're going to get out of here now, and we're going to do it with a song. I'm pretty sure you brought one. I'm just going to guess. that you brought one.
I did bring one, and it's funny because this one is... this one did not come through the regular channels. It came through different channels. Cleo texted me directly. She's the only person who can do this, people. So don't get any ideas, even if you have my phone number.
Sorry. Why is that playing? Sorry. The bug is not fixed. The bug is still there. Sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt that. But do not text Brian is what he's saying. Okay?
Exactly. Don't text me a request. This is the only, Cleo's the only person I'll take requests via text from. She says, of all the weird stuff I found online, you are by far my absolute favorite. Happy birthday to the guy that took one for the team and got me off the streets for good 5 years ago. Mothers everywhere thanking the heavens above that their sons are safe from my brand of bullshit. Oddly enough, your mom seems to love me. We should get her checked out. Happy 39th, Steve. I love you more than coffee. And that's saying something. Love always, Carrie.
Oh, you know what? For Carrie, I will play a brand new that I haven't used before. It's not that it will replace the Let's Party thing, but I just have it as an alternate. Okay. She'll get it today for this special day. Here you go.
Happy birthday.
There you go. It was from a Sopranos episode where Tony's funny. Dad's old side squeeze.
Yeah.
They met up again.
Out of a cake or something. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she started singing like Marilyn Monroe, and it was so uncomfortable. I just had to capture it. So anyway, Cleo, that's for you. First time.
Uncle Junior.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, let's get to this. At first, Cleo said, how about a mashup? And I said, come on, you're talking to the mayor of Coverville. Covers, Cleo, covers. She very quickly and happily switched this. I don't know how happy she was. I couldn't tell from her text message. They like the band Cake plus birthday plus cake equals yum. This comes from their 2007 B-Sides and Rarities album. Here's Cake covering Black Sabbath's War Pigs.
Gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. Stops turning as you hear the bodies burning. No more war pigs have the power, and as God has struck the hour. His wings. Oh,
more at frogpants.com.
Do you know what a scrotum is?
Yep.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.